Yeah.
The door slams. All right, awesome. The Baseball Project, welcome.
Thanks.
Half of us are here.
More than half.
60%. 60%.
That's
a quorum.
Three for five.
Yeah.
3 for 5. And all future, no past. A nice... nice song to hear that early in the season like this, especially for the Met fans right out there.
I was going to say, we don't do that.
Enjoy it while it lasts, man.
Hey, you know, tomorrow is the actual 50th anniversary of the first Met game ever. So perhaps maybe you can start working on a Met song. I know the Buckner's Bolero has some mention.
Certainly,
but,
that's heavily Met-infused.
Yes. Yeah. Anytime you can get Calvin Schiraldi into a song, it's... Well, so we got Scott McCoy, Linda Pittman, Steve Wynn. Thanks so much for coming out. And tonight at Maxwell's will be the show. Friday at the Met. What's that? What's happening with
Metropolitan
that one?
First of all, I'm pretty sure we're the first band ever to play Maxwell's and the Metropolitan Museum of Art in the same week. I haven't looked it up, but that's a pretty safe bet.
Always with the likely. Stats.
Yeah. That's right. You can look it up, as Casey would say.
You can look it up.
And that was pre-Wikipedia. Casey Stengel was way ahead of his time.
That's right.
Yeah, we're playing at the Maxwell's tonight as you mentioned, and we're playing Friday is at the Metropolitan Museum of Art as part, or Meet the Met, as we like to call it.
Meet the Met.
Mr. Met.
Mr. Met will be there.
That would be cool.
Instead of a big baseball, he's got a big painting frame for a head.
Giant Rembrandt on his shoulders.
Yeah.
No, it's actually something a little bit more somber. It's the Breaking the Color Line exhibit.
Right.
Oh.
And it's going to be a great event with like a panel with Jackie Robinson's daughter and
Dale Murphy,
two-time MVP Dale Murphy. Yep.
Wow.
Bill Roden, the writer for the Times, there's going to be a good, panel discussion, which we really rarely follow panel discussions. So. We've had a lot of interesting opening acts over the years, but I think Dale Murphy on a panel discussion hasn't really happened before.
Really, all the shows at South by Southwest you've played, there hasn't been a panel discussion?
That's a good point.
Try to keep those separate.
I mean, what did you play in that motorcycle, the bike store or something, Steve? What was that one?
We did. We played a bicycle shop at noon, about 1 hour after we woke up. That was a first. Seriously, from the first cup of coffee to the time we played our set was about 1 hour. And rocked pretty hard. That was a Miracle 3 show.
A lot of puffy eyelids in the video.
Yes. Right, so the Met is at a more reasonable hour of 7:30, I believe, right?
Yeah, and they've got this huge baseball card collection there. And
really?
They've got an exhibit of that.
Oh, wow.
As well, so it's all tied together.
Is that always there, the collection, or is this just for this?
It is, but
they don't have that much out.
They just kind of rotate it, but they only have like maybe a few hundred cards out. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. It's an amazing collection. We got to see it with we wore white gloves, Mickey Mouse gloves, and got to look at them.
Wow.
We actually wrote a song about it. We could just play that now.
Should we play the?
Maybe we should. Yeah.
The new song for the occasion.
Yeah, we wrote a new song for the occasion about the guy who. Who's donated his card collection to the Met was quite an amazing character named J.R. Jefferson Burdick, and he collected baseball cards and all other kinds of printed ephemera.
Wow.
And that's what he spent his whole life doing, basically. And when he didn't want to sell them, even though they were worth a lot. I mean, he's got the Honus Wagner card that's worth like $1 million or whatever.
Right.
And he donated them all to the Met, and they were like, well, that's great. Yeah, we'd like to have them, but could you like catalog them for us? So he literally spent 16 years going in there every day and cataloging all this, his whole collection that he'd given them.
Wow.
He had to do all the work.
16 years.
So is he what does it go up to? Like how?
It's 1880s to 1960. Yeah, stops in 1960.
And it's pretty complete. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's almost totally complete.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he wasn't a baseball fan.
He never went to a baseball game.
Never went to a game.
Right? Yeah. Wow.
He just collected everything.
He just liked the gum.
it shows you the sickness within the fun.
And so I guess they're going to have all those out. That exhibit will be out starting this week, I guess,
and stay up there
for a while. That all tied into that, and the the whole thing they're doing there is tied into them asking us to play. This was brought up to us about 6 months ago, a while ago, and we you know, we haven't been playing that much lately. I think our only gigs this year were down in Mexico, so we're doing an odd world tour right now. Odd, very slow
Hoboken and Manhattan
world tour. Yes,
yeah, but you know we've got a minor league game in Madison, Wisconsin this summer too. So that'll just kind of round it all out.
Mexico, Madison, the Met, and Maxwell's. It's all M's,
right? The big M.
All right,
you
so
can look
is
it up.
The world debut of this song.
Yeah, this will be the first time we've ever played this song. It's called "I Shan't Be Back" because apparently when Jefferson Burdick, when he finished with his 16 years of going to the Met every day and cataloging the collection, he finished the last one and he just said, "I shan't be back," and walked out the door.
And that was it.
Checked
himself into a hospital and died. I mean, he was really sick and he he got it done. Yeah. So he had like terrible arthritis and all kinds of stuff going on, health problems, but he stuck it out until he got the collection all set for everybody.
Stuck it out for you, everybody.
So this is called "I Shan't Be Back."